My text this morning is taken from verse 37 of John 18. We read from that passage. And John 18, verse 37, "For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Now, Pilate's response, which we read, to the statement of Christ, could easily have been written in 2020. His response: "Well, what is truth? We live, don't we, in an age of relativism, skepticism, schism caused by differing versions, half truths, polarized positions. We have fact checkers on the news. Who checks on those fact checkers? That's what I want to know. Because our trust in politicians is so low, we have Twitter warnings applied to the President of the United States' tweets. We seemingly have wholesale fake news on Facebook to try and influence elections. And it seems expediency is the order of the day. If it works, then that's the truth. And the next day, we might need a new truth. But there's no, it seems, no such thing as truth that we stick to. And you can't even believe what the media write. Everybody's got an agenda. There seems to be a wholesale bias. It seems to be not hidden so much even. It just seems to be who can shout the loudest, who can make the most noise, who can flood the market. And we're left at times not knowing what or who to believe. And with that erosion of truth comes an erosion of trust. I originally titled this message TNT. It could be both the explosion, later on we'll come to that, but also truth and trust. Because with truth comes trust, and with the erosion of truth, there is the erosion of trust. That we live, really, don't we, in a period, certainly, where you can't really trust what anybody says. Certainly when you see the TV, we're now wired in towards skepticism and even cynicism. But having said that, to a greater or lesser extent, this has always been the case. The Lord Jesus Christ says to Pilate, he came to testify to the truth. And elsewhere in John 14, he says, "I am the way and the truth." So here we have someone who is coming to say about the truth, not just a truth, but the truth. It's this definitive, exclusive statement. So there's a question: can there be a truth that transcends all differing opinions, all differing generations, all differing cultures, all different situations? Is there really the truth? Christ is saying that he is testifying and bearing witness to the truth. So let us echo Pilate's question, albeit perhaps with a different sentiment. Well, what is the truth? And we're told that Jesus is actually making known God. God is the truth. God is truth. God is the truth. Start to John's Gospel in chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, says this: "The law came through Moses, grace and truth, or if you will, love and faithfulness, or love and trustworthiness, came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only begotten, or the one and only, or the only God, or the only Son, depending on how you translate it, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." So Jesus Christ is testifying, is bearing witness to the truth, is bearing witness to God. Jesus Christ, of course, is God, but God is spirit, he's unseen. And how can we know who God is? How can we know the truth unless someone reveals it to us? And this is what Jesus Christ has come. For this purpose, he came to reveal the truth. Now, our first parents, Adam and Eve, knew who God was or who God is. They recognized this easily because they saw that he was their maker. But then they were tempted by Satan. Remember the serpent coming into the garden. It's a historical account. It's not an allegory. It actually happened. And Satan came to doubt God, tempted them to doubt God, to distrust him, to disbelieve him. Remember, he said, "Has God said?" And then he said, "Oh, on that, on when you eat fruit, you will not surely die." And Adam and Eve chose to believe a lie rather than God, rather than the truth. They chose to disbelieve, to distrust God, and they chose willingly to believe a lie. And ever since then, sin has come in and robbed us of the truth. You see, that's what sin does. It robs us of the truth. All the lies, all the deceit is just a consequence of sin. It is what sin is. Sin robs us of the truth. Now, humankind, still knows deep down that there is a God. It's burned into our psyche, into our hearts, into our souls, into our makeup. We know that there is a God. That's why you go into different cultures and there's always this aspect of worship. Why? Because it's hardwired into us. And there's plenty of evidence around us to support how awesome or majestic this God is. The heavens declare the majesty, the awesomeness, the wonder of God. But we are left scrambling in the dark because of sin. That part of us, that spiritual part of us, has been shut down, has died, more than shut down, has died. So we're left scrambling in the dark, unable to know God, unable to know who he is. We know that there's a God. We know something of his abilities, if you will. But to actually know him, to know the truth, for that truth to be seen, it's impossible with us because we've been left in the dark. Our minds have been darkened. We're dead in trespasses and sins. And so throughout the Old Testament, there are promises. There are promises given that there's one who is coming who will reveal the truth. There is one who is coming who will testify to the truth. There's one who is coming who will defeat sin and restore the relationship with the truth, the relationship with God. There is one who is coming who will enable us to know the truth that will set us free, enable us to know God. The truth is God. And if you examine these prophecies and promises in the Old Testament, and even in the reading we had, it was given so that this would fulfill what manner of death Jesus said of himself that he would have. All of these various prophecies and promises, hundreds upon hundreds of them, if you examine them, then the evidence overwhelmingly confirms that this Jesus of Nazareth, this historical person of whom more has been written about than any other historical figure ever, that this Jesus of Nazareth is telling the truth when he says who he is. His life points to it. And he even said to Philip, one of his followers, "Can we see the Father?" And he said, "Philip, have I been with you so long? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. I am in the Father. The Father is in me." He says, "But if you don't believe me, believe the miracles. The evidence of the miracles, they point to it." Everything about Jesus Christ points to the fact that he is testifying to the truth, that he is testifying to who God is. And we need this testimony. We need this revelation because of sin, our minds have been darkened to the truth. We're scrambling in the dark. Remember who came before Jesus? John the Baptist, his cousin. And John the Baptist said, "I'm not the light, but I'm a witness to the light. I'm a forerunner. I'm, if you will, pointing out the light. I'm pointing to the light. I'm saying, this is the light. This is the one who is coming." And that picture of the light, that metaphor of the light, think about it. He said, Jesus said, didn't he, "I am the light of the world." What did he mean by that? He's shining a light on the truth. He's revealing the truth, this truth that has been hidden in darkness because of sin, this truth that has been covered up because the God of this world has blinded our eyes to the truth. Now the light of the world comes and shows the world the truth. It shows the world the truth about God. He shows the world the truth about us, the law showing up, our sin. And on the cross, he shows the character of God. This is a God who is holy. This is a God who demands justice. This is a God who cannot wink at sin. This is a God who has to deal with sin. Oh, but look, this is a God who is so full of love, who demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, what does he do? He punishes his own son instead of us. For all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ has paid that price of sin. And so the light of the world, his life is a testimony, his works are a testimony, his death is a testimony, is bearing witness to the truth. That no one, that who the Father is, and then that no one can come to the Father, no one can know the Father, no one can be reconciled to the Father except through Jesus Christ, believing on his life, believing on his death. And so what is the response to this truth? And there's, really putting it simply, there are two responses. Let's deal with the right response first. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when Peter said, in response to Christ's question, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ. You are the Christ. You're the promised one. You are the Son of the living God. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, if you abide in my word, you truly are my disciples, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And remember, the apostles, why were they called apostles? Well, they were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. They saw close at hand the life of Jesus Christ. They were with him for his public ministry. And then they saw his resurrection, the resurrected Christ. They saw him a number of times, and then they saw his ascension. And this was a qualification for being an apostle, that they had seen firsthand. And then Peter, later on in one of his letters, says, we haven't followed cunningly devised fables. We're not following a myth. This isn't something that has been made up. We have been eyewitnesses to the truth, eyewitnesses to his majesty. And these apostles, most of them were called to die for this truth. And then throughout then, the history of the Christian church, people have died for this truth. And every Christian is a witness to this truth. You see, the person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that person, their eyes have now been opened to the truth. The autobiographical hymn of the slave trader, John Newton, I once was lost, but now am found. I once was blind, but now I see. And that's the testimony of every Christian. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us as Christians to testify to the truth, to witness to the truth. You've now seen the truth. You know who God is. You've been reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are now eyewitness. You are now tested. You are now to testify of that truth. But what about those who haven't believed on the truth? You know, Pontius Pilate, if you read on in that section, he later goes on to say here that they say he's the Son of God, and he's afraid at what he hears people say that Jesus is. He's aware that there's something. His own wife has a dream about the Lord Jesus, and he's afraid. But then the Jews get him and they say, but if you don't follow on this, you're obviously not loyal to Caesar. And so he's more afraid of this world. He's more afraid of what people think. He's more afraid of the consequences in this world. And that might be a reason then, somebody here, doesn't believe. Because what they see with their hand, their eyes, what they can feel with their hands, the consequences of this world, the immediate short-term consequences to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is a cost to following after Christ. It might well be then that that is far greater than in their mind than the consequences of not believing on Jesus. Or it may well be that you hate the thought of this truth. You don't want this truth. You close your eyes to it. You put your fingers in your ears to it, because the reality is that this truth means there is a God whom we are to worship. And perhaps it is the God of our imagination is a far more comfortable God, far more comforting God, far more appeasing God, a God who it conforms to what we want. And so actually we hate the thought of this truth. Jesus asks two questions when he's talking to the Jews, maybe the same Jews who brought him here to Pilate, or maybe they were different people, but certainly the same thinking, the same group, if you will. And he says in John 8, he asks two questions. Why do you not understand what I say? Because some of you here may think, well, this is too difficult. It's not. And then he also asks, well, why do you not believe me? Because any dispassionate person, any objective person, it's impossible, by the way, to be dispassionate or objective about this because we're involved. But any dispassionate or objective person could see over the overwhelming evidence that demands a verdict that Jesus Christ is telling the truth, that he is the truth. Do you know the reason? Jesus answers his own question. Do you know the reason he gives? He says this. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You can't bear this. You can't bear this truth. Why? Because you are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. You don't want the truth. You want to carry on in darkness. You prefer the darkness. You prefer to live the lie for this time, even if in eternity that lie is exposed. You would rather live your life, live your lie for this time. And what does Jesus say of the devil? You see, the Bible tells us there's two masters. Again, you might be the type of person who doesn't want to have a boss. Well, the Bible tells us we're either under the yoke of Christ or we're under the yoke of Satan. We're either Christ is our master or Satan is. What's Christ's view of the devil? He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. Look at the contrast. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the light. There's no sin in him. There's no guilt that can be found credited to him. He's pure. What about the devil? In him, there's no truth. He's darkness. And then he says, so why do you not believe me? What about that answer? He says, the reason you do not hear is because you're not of God. It's as simple as that, you see. It's stark, isn't it? The person who doesn't believe the truth, it isn't because they haven't heard enough. It isn't because they don't understand enough. It isn't because there's not enough evidence. It's because they're under they have a master, and he's the devil. It's because they're children of disobedience. It's because they're not of God. So those are the two responses. There's only two groups. You're either, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your eyes have been opened to the truth. You may not understand all the things in the Bible, but you know God, and you know it, and you know him. Or you're in another group, and whether it's a prevaricating, wanting to hear more, or we'd like to hear more, I'm almost persuaded, whether it's a, well, who can you believe in this day and age, or whether it's an actual shaking of the fist at God, saying, I don't want this. The reality is, you're in the same group. Romans 1:25 says this: they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. You see, we all of us are serving a God. We all of us have a master, to put it in other words. Which God are you serving? Are you serving the Creator, the one true living God, the one who is good and holy and just and loving, the one who has shown his love in giving us his only begotten Son to die in our place, to make reconciliation, to atone for our sins in order to bring us back to him? Or are you serving the God of this world in whatever form it takes, whether it's serving your family, worshipping your family, whether it's worshipping your bank balance, whether it's worshipping an ism, whatever it takes, whatever form it takes, you've exchanged the truth for a lie. Do you want to continue living a lie? Well, you carry on. You want to know the truth, to be set free by the truth? Well, ask. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can this happen? Well, you need TNT. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need God to come and to breathe life into your soul. Will he do it? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe him? Well, he's trustworthy. He's never once broken a promise. He's never once not shown himself to be completely trustworthy. Trust him now. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to open your eyes. Ask him to be gracious and faithful to you. And he will. Amen. Amen.